There is a fondness of home. I grew up in Fontana, California, as a child, and I can't help but when I go back to Fontana, remember some of the most beautiful places that I've visited and the things that I've done as a child there. When I go back to that little street on Olive, 9087 Olive Street, I know the address. I can still tell you the phone number, 822-7934, area code 909. I know that home verbatim. I know all the ins and outs of it. I've jumped off the roof. I've damaged the house. I've ripped off shingles. I've broken tree branches. I've eaten things in that house I shouldn't have eaten. I've broken windows. I've broken bones. Matter of fact, in a tree in the front yard of that home as a child, I tried to swing around a branch because I saw them do it in the Olympics. I thought I could do that. So I tried that at that little house, and I tried to swing around that branch as best I could. And when I got about right in this vicinity, my hand slipped off, and I went flying through the air, and I snapped my elbow over here, and it demanded surgery. And now I'd hit my head on that branch, but my uncle cut that branch off after that. I've have a lot of good memories in that home. I've slept on the couch. I've slept on the bed. I've slept on the floor. I've watched Grandma cook in that kitchen. I've seen a lot of wonderful things, and I can tell you right now there's a fondness in my heart for that little home at 9079 Olive Street. I love that place. Love that place. And my uncle now resides there. But when I think of that place and all the memories of that place, it does something to my heart. It's a place that moves me. Have you ever been in a place with God that has moved you? God has a place for each and every one of us, and it's a place of intimacy with Him that moves us. A place where you and I are touched by Him, where God comes into our hearts and our lives, and our minds are moved by His presence, by His touch, and there's a sweetness and a fondness of it. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, I know what it's like to be in the home of His presence, and I know what it's like to be outside the home of His presence, thinking of how wonderful it was to be in His home. And I feel like this morning, as the Spirit of God was leading me this morning, that there are people here who have been thinking about home. And I'm not talking about that physical home, that address you grew up at. I'm talking about that place of intimacy between you and the Lord. I'm talking about that home where you felt so at peace in your heart. I'm talking about that place where you were young in Christ and you came to the Lord and all you could think about is how good He is and how wonderful it is to be in His presence. I'm talking about that place where the Holy Spirit had free reign. He could come to you at any time and you would entertain His presence. I'm talking about that place where you wanted God more than you wanted anything in this world. You wanted to be with Him. So coming to church wasn't a drudgery, it was an excitement in your heart. I'm talking about that place where obedience to God was not something you had to do, it was something you looked forward to. You wanted to be with Him, and you couldn't wait for praise and worship. You couldn't wait to give to God. You couldn't wait to minister to somebody. That place where you know it's home, where you feel safe, where you feel like everything is okay. I could tell you that the only thing that matters in Christianity is that we are safe in His presence. When we are in the presence of God and we feel the safety of His protection. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous, they run into it and they are safe. I never felt harmed. Go ahead, give Him praise. Give Him praise. I've never felt harmed ever in that home and on Olive Street. I knew I was safe because my uncle was there and my dad was there and my grandma was there. And I knew they would protect me. And I want you to know that when you're in the presence of God, you're never more safe than when you're in the presence of God. And I think this morning that there are people who are thinking back to a fond moment where God was rich and God was wonderful and God was good and God was passionate in your life. There was something about God that meant something to you, but somehow you've journeyed away from Him. Somehow you've gotten away from that place of intimacy with the Lord, and I feel like some of you are missing it. And if when you think about his presence, you're thinking, I miss him. I miss him. I miss that time where he would talk to me. Oh, the joy, the joy of being in his presence. You miss him saying, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. And you might say, I miss being in his presence and saying, I love you, Father. I love you, Lord. That intimate place between you and God cannot be replaced. Here's a son. Jesus gives this beautiful parable about a son who has given everything from his father. He's given everything. You remember how you felt when you got saved? You had everything. God gave you everything. He gave you the peace in your heart. He gave you the healing in your soul. He gave you joy unspeakable and full of glory. He gave it to you. He gave you his blessing. And all of it was given by God. But isn't it amazing how life can take us down paths and journeys where we get into a place where we waste everything that God has given? Life has a way of pulling us away from God. The world has a way of luring us away from God. The troubles of life have a way of luring us away from God. The temptations of our family, the temptations of the world have a way of luring us away from our family, which is God. It has a way of taking us away from God. And we can quickly waste everything that God has given us because we have decided that we're going to just embrace what is around us. And God is saying, I feel like God is saying, there's coming a time, or you're even in it right now, that you miss home. And you're thinking about it. You're thinking about a time where God, where you and God walked together, where you and God had a time alone, where you and God, the relationship between you and God was passionate. And this young man, he left his father's home. He left God's presence. And when he did, the natural thing was, I'm not at home where the supply is consistent. I'm not at home where there's constant coming in. Listen, when you're in God's presence, there's always a coming in. There's always a deposit. Listen, when you get depleted, Christian, which you will, Christian, you will get depleted in this path of life. You will exhaust what God has given you. You will feel at times that you need another touch. You will feel at times that the one they call the bread of life, that you need another taste of the bread. You're going to need another touch. There's going to be times where God needs to deposit more into your life because you have depleted what God has already given you. But when you journey away from God, you'll empty yourself and waste everything you have, and then you find yourself in a place where you are in want. We as Christians are not, we should not be in want. We should be in the presence of God where the supply is endless, where the supply is joy, where the supply brings peace, where the supply is constant in our life. God doesn't want you to be depleted. He wants your cup running over. He wants you full of his presence, full of his glory, amen? Full of it. And God's presence brings that fullness to our life. But this young man, he got away from his father. And when you get away from your father, you will find that you will waste everything. And you will be in want. And isn't it fascinating that when you are in want, that's when the famine comes? This young man was in want. He wasted everything, and the famine came. And the famine forces him to do things he would not normally do. In your life, maybe you're in a famine in your spiritual life. And in your spiritual life, you're right now doing things you would have never done a year ago. Participating in things you would never participate in. Being a part of worldliness you would never be a part of, because you are in a place of want and desire, because you need something to make you feel satisfied or feel good, because you're out of the presence of God, which always brings satisfaction, which always brings joy, which always brings peace. And so now you're in a place of want. And when the famine comes, you got to do something. And instead of going home and humbling yourself, the best thing you can do is attach yourself to a citizen of the country. And I want you to note this, that this young man used to be attached to God, and now he's attached to somebody else. He's got attachment issues now. He's attached himself to the world. He's attached himself to something else. He's looking for a supply that's not where God is. Listen, when we are in a place that we get to thinking about home, that's probably because we've attached ourselves to something else that took us away from home. When you get attached to something else, that something else is always a god to you. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. That's what the scripture teaches us. Anytime you attach yourself to anything else, anything that will steal your thirst for God, quench your desire for more of the Lord, and hinder your work for God, it is trying to take the place of God in your life, and you're going to have to learn how to get back into his presence. Instead of attaching to those things that are stealing from you and taking from you, look at where the boy gets. He gets to a very low place. First off, he's a Jewish boy, no doubt about it. He's a Jewish young man, and he's eating the food that the pigs have. He said, you can go feed my swine. One of the worst places you can be for a Jewish boy is feeding pigs. They can't even eat a pig, let alone eating with them. He's eating the waste that is passed down to the pigs that he can't even touch or be a part of. He's eating the filth that he attached himself to. Listen, have you ever been in a place like this? Maybe before you got saved, or maybe even right now, you are feasting on the filth of where you come from or what you're going through right now. But the Holy Spirit is speaking right now, saying, I want you to think about where you come from. I want you to think about home. I want you to start reminiscing about the presence of God. Because when you start to think about where you come from and the roots that you have in Christ Jesus, something inside you is going to say, there's better for me. There's better for me. And the Holy Spirit, I feel, is speaking this, that there is better for you. There's better for you. More. God has more for you. His supply is endless, but maybe you don't have a part of that. Maybe you're outside of his supply. We need to get under the umbrella of God and let his presence envelop us and move in us, and let his presence fulfill what we need in our life. When you find yourself in lack, that's the time, Christian, to get back into the presence of God. That's the time to entertain, what do I need to do to get back in the presence of God? I love the fact that this young man, he wasted everything. He disconnects himself from God and reconnects himself. He fills his life with waste. He fills his life with worldliness. He fills his life with ungodliness. And he finds himself in want. But praise be to Jesus for the moments where we come to ourselves. Where we finally say, this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. This isn't where I'm supposed to be. God has more for me. How many know God has more for you? He has more for you. God has more. And this young man, I envision him sitting next to a pig after eating. That's what I figure. He smells like pigs. He eats like a pig. Amen. No pun intended, amen. and he is feasting on the waste of it all, and he's sitting there and he's thinking to himself, and he starts to think about the bread at home. Oh, come on now. He starts to think about what it was like when he was always with his father. He starts to think about the supply that never ever ended. He starts to think about the joy that always was there and the rejoicing that was always there. He starts to think about the riches of his home. Don't you know how rich you truly are? Don't you know that you're not abandoned? The scripture says that you are not fatherless, but you have a heavenly father. Amen. The old King James Version, I'm going to say it. I don't mean it mean, and I don't mean it derogatory, and I'm definitely not cussing, but I'm going to say it. It's King James, all right? You okay with King James this morning? King James says you are no longer bastards, amen? You have a father, and you belong to the Lord, and God's your heavenly father this morning, amen? I know there's probably a better way to say that today, but I didn't prepare, so bear with me, amen? Now, the point that I'm trying to make here is that this man realizes that God has more. His father has more. you are rich this morning. And the saddest thing that you can do as a Christian is be rich and eat with pigs. That's the saddest thing you can do when your Heavenly Father has blessings for you. When your Heavenly Father has a spiritual supply that is endless and you're feasting on spiritual nastiness and you're constantly in want and desire, there's nothing worse than that. To come to church and be wasted, wasting it all. To come to church and waste the moment where you could praise God and get in His presence. What a wasted moment. What a wasted moment when you could have given sacrificially and saw God bless you financially. What a wasted moment when you could have given of your time and witnessed to somebody and shared the gospel, but you didn't do it, so you wasted your substance with riotous living. It's a wasted moment. Are you picking up what I'm saying? God has greater, but you've wasted it. How many services could we have? How many times could we have gotten in? How many times could we have answered the altar call? How many times could we have prayed a little longer? How many times could we have fasted? How many times could we have witnessed? How many times could we have been faithful, but we didn't? Those times come in our life, and you know what happens? We start reminiscing about the times that were sweet when we are in bitter times. And God, I feel like God wants to say to you that while you're missing home, home is missing you. Home is missing you. I want you to see this because, and then I'm pretty much done. Amen. This prodigal son is. He says, "I'm gonna go home, and I'm gonna tell him exactly what is wrong with me." And praise God for honesty, because God moves in a genuine heart. He moves in truth, and truth brings liberty to our life. The truth sets you free, and he is telling his truth. My truth is that I've wasted it. My truth is that I've had everything that you've given me, and I didn't take advantage of it. And I wasted it all. That's his truth. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. That's his truth. That is the truth of it. But here's the thing that gets me. He says, I'm going to arise. I'm going to go home. That's the action that needs to happen here, I believe, for some hearts. I feel like there needs to be an arising out of your seat of doing nothing about where you're at, or arising out of your comfort zone and saying, I'm no longer going to come to church and just sit there in comfort. I'm going to do something about what God is doing for me. I'm going to embrace the power that God has given to me. I'm going to take advantage of it. He arises. He leaves the pigs. Oh, come on, somebody. We need to leave some of the pigs in our life behind. Amen? We need to leave the husk and the filth that the world is giving and replacement of the spiritual blessings that God has. Listen, the enemy has a replacement. He has it, and if you'll let him, he'll feed it to you. It's nothing but waste. It has no substance, but when we finally come to ourselves and start thinking about what our Father has for us, it's then we recognize that what we've been eating isn't very good. You know McDonald's is bad if you had a T-bone steak. Right? You know real meat. Aside from the processed stuff that never goes bad after a year sitting on a shelf. Something's wrong with that kind of meat. Amen. You know the difference. When you want to eat good, you don't go to McDonald's. Sorry. If you like McDonald's, their coffee's great. Amen. But I'm not trying to offend you. But when you want to eat good, you want something meaty and feeling and actually give some substance and energy to your body, you're going to go and get something that's going to supply the need. You want something that's going to give you what you need. And McDonald's is nothing more than I got nowhere else to go. That's how it is in my home. McDonald's is the no place else to go. Go get yourself a dollar hamburger because you're too poor to get anything else. That's exactly how it is. And I'm not preaching about your home. Don't get offended. I'm preaching about my home, okay? That's how it is in our home. But when we want to eat good, we don't go to McDonald's. We drive right by McDonald's, and we go into Smith's, and we go get some good old trout, because trout is phenomenal. And we go buy some salmon, because God designed salmon for Pastor Bruce to eat. That's what I go get. I go get a ribeye that is marbled to perfection, and then I fry it in an iron skillet, and I smother it in barbecue sauce, and I stick it in the microwave, and I mean, and then in the oven, and I cook it, and I get it perfect. I get it medium, just pink in the center, and I pull that thing out, and I deliciously devour that thing. Because I know the difference between something that's good, because I've had it. And when you know what is good, you don't settle for things that is cheap. And I feel like today the church has allowed the waste of what the world has offered to come into the house of God. And we are offering to the children of God waste in placement of real meat. We need what God has. This man says, I'm going home. But isn't it amazing that the father was looking the direction that the son had left? Because home was thinking of him. And I want you to notice this, that while he was yet afar off, note that in our lives, the scripture says that if we draw nigh, he will draw nigh to us. That's what the scripture teaches us. God is looking, anticipating our return, anticipating our hunger for him. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall, underline that word in your mind or in your Bible, shall be filled. It's that hunger in that son's heart that says, it's better at home. It's better at home. And the father was sitting there waiting, looking, because home was thinking about the son while the son was thinking of home. And the father is waiting. He's afar off. He took one step towards the father, and the father ran to him. Ran to him. And when he gets to the father, he gets to the father. The father gets to him. The father bypasses the smell, because he still smells like pigs. His life has been inundated with the world, and he has the stench of being in it. His pores probably sweat out the junk that he has consumed. And he is standing in front of his father with the filth of everything. And his father does not say, you need a bath. He falls on him. Because that's what our loving father does. When we think of home, and home is thinking of us, he's looking to us. He's looking towards us. And our Heavenly Father is waiting with anticipation from one sign of hunger from us, from one inkling that we are turning back. Because when you do anything to point his direction, he's going to run towards you. I said he's going to run towards you. And the only reason why the glory hasn't come down is because you're still content, probably sitting there next to the pigs. And God's saying, quit being content with pigs. And get up off of that and come home where you belong, where the supply is endless. The father braces him, and get this, he kisses him. What a kiss of acceptance. Don't you know what it's like in the hands of the father? You see, you got to understand something. The enemy wants to tell you that the father won't accept you, that you've gone too far, you've done too much, you've neglected too much, you didn't take advantage. He will broadcast it. He exaggerates it all, don't he? He really exaggerates it. But that's not how your Heavenly Father is. When you come to him, he embraces you. He embraces you. He kisses you. No matter where you come from, my dear friend, you can have done horrific sins. You hear me? Horrific sins. Your sins could be magnified. You could have been horrible. You could have been caught up in the nastiest of nasties. But the Holy Spirit does not care. You turn to him, there is power in the name of Jesus to cleanse a man or a woman of all sins, and the Father is ready to kiss his people. And then the Son, he gives his repentance. And let me tell you something, you need to give your repentance. You need to give it. Because if you don't repent, the only unforgiven sins today are the ones that aren't repented over. But if you repent, say, I've done wrong. I've gone away. I've stepped away from you. That's when God comes in and brings forgiveness. But note what the Father does. He doesn't make a big spectacle of the sin. You notice that? The devil makes spectacles of sin. You need to note this about the devil versus God, because God speaks to us and the devil does too. And the devil will tell you, look at how bad you are. God doesn't say that to his Son. He says, bring the fatted calf. The opposite of the of God is the magnifying of our own sins in our life. The devil magnifies the sin. God magnifies the person who comes broken, and he lifts them up. Note that the Heavenly Father is about to start a party while the enemy is trying to keep him in the sorrows of his own sins. But the Father says, bring the fatted calf. Bring the robe. And he doesn't just say any robe. Bring the best one. The pig stuff is over. We need to put a good robe on him. Bring shoes. Put it on his feet. Put the ring on his finger. The ring that says, this is my son. And the party gets started. Because our Heavenly Father is thinking of us. Even while maybe some of you are thinking of him. And I feel like this morning, I'm done. I don't have anything else to say. That's what the Holy Spirit gave me during worship. Now, I want to say this to you, that you might be thinking of those moments, those fond moments between you and the Lord. Can you come to the piano? And you may be thinking of those fond moments of the Lord, but the Lord is also thinking of having fond moments with you. He wants to be with you. I cannot express that enough. Your Heavenly Father wants a close, intimate relationship with you. The only reason we don't have that, because I want to point out one more thing, okay? God never left where he lived. The Son left where God lived. Know in our lives that God is waiting. He's always there. He's always there. If you want him, you got to run to him. If you want him, you got to embrace him. If you want him, you got to say, Lord, I got to arise. I got to get up. I got to come to you. You have to decide that. That's all up to you. How much you have of God today is not about the preacher in the church, not about the songs that are sung in the church. It's about your hunger for the God that you serve. God is not withholding any great gift from you. He is not abandoning you and saying, well, we tried with that one. That's not what he's doing. He's just saying, do you want me as much as I want you? Do you want me? Do you want me? Because when you want the Lord like that, when you want the Lord like that, he's going to come to you. And the touch that you receive that moment will wash away all the stains of the waste that you've been living in. Could you see that, son? Full of sorrow, full of repentance. God ushered in a party. Could you see that moment? When he comes broken, but he leaves rejoicing. He came in with stains and sin, and he left with joy and peace. Because
the Father is full of the supply of joy and peace. He's full of what you are lacking and needing. And so I feel like God misses you too. God misses you too. I don't know who this is for. If it ain't for you, maybe it's the second service. Who knows? I don't care. I'm preaching it anyway. But he misses you too. And he's ready to party with you. And I don't mean that in a crazy, I mean that in the most sacred way. He wants to be with you. So I'm going to have an altar call. An altar call that says, God, I'm thinking of you. I remember the tenderness of your touch. I remember the embrace. I remember the love that came into my heart and my life. I remember when I wanted to do everything I could for you because of our relationship together. And now I'm not only going to think about it, I'm going to arise. And I'm going to walk back towards you, Father. I don't know how it's all going to play out at the end. I don't understand it all. Even if you just make me one of your hired servants, that's good with me as long as I'm in your house. But I know this, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. When I go down the Cajon Pass, going back into California from the 40, you come into the 40, you hit the 15, and you come down to Barstow. I know it very well because I'm going home when I get into Barstow. And when I get down to Victorville, I'm thinking, there's some semblance of what it's like to be home. And then I get down to Hesperia, and I think, oh, this is getting closer. I'm almost there. And then I get to the Cajon Pass, where the beautiful mountains there, and Mount Baldy there to the right, and Big Bear to the left. And I come down through the mountains, and I get into the little area called Highland down there, and I come through that pass, get down into the top of Fontana, where you could make a right on Sierra Avenue off the 15 and go to Vital Creek, California, where my pastor resides, or I can make a left and go down into off Sierra, down into home, and I can tell you where the Baker's is, and I can tell you every corner. I can tell you everything about that place. I know home. I know what it's like there. And when you know what it's like to be home, you know the best places, you know the good things that you can be a part of. And so I'm asking you this morning, are you ready to come home? Are you ready? Are you ready to come home? Because the Lord's waiting. He said he's waiting. He's looking at you, saying, I'm calling to you. Calling to you. If you want to come right now, I want you to come. I want you to come. Holy Spirit speaking, I want you to come. Come on, just come. Come on, come home. This is the step of faith. This is the step of faith. Hallelujah. Come on, the presence of the Lord's already on you, says, let him touch you. That's it. The presence of the Lord is already in the house. Come on. It don't even matter. Let the second service come in and just start up with us. Come on. You need to come home this morning. Come on. Begin to worship him right now. Begin to praise him right now. I need ladies to gather around some of these ladies. Can I get ladies to come help me pray for these ladies and gather around them, please? Can I get some men to help me pray with these men? Please help me. Because they're coming home. Invite them back. Invite them back. Tell them thank you. We're so glad that you're arising and coming home. We're so glad that you're here this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.